Everybody, here we go to an episode.
Welcome back, episode 24, Left is Right, the racing podcast where friends banter on about racing.
Bantering. Absolutely. We're going to do some bantering.
We are.
Adam, I hope you leave that clip of Matt singing in the beginning. That was really nice.
I usually do. If you guys have been paying attention, Brent's had a handful of one-liners for the last 3 weeks that get inserted in the beginning, where you get no context to the information that he says. So I don't know if you've heard those, Brent, or not.
My father.
So, I need to go back and re-listen. Most of the things I say don't have much context anyway, so that's appropriate.
My father goes, Brent's really got the liners recently. I'm like, yeah, because Adam's been tossing them in there, you know?
Yeah. So I take them. What I do is I... all like the way I put the episode together, like it ends up being like in sections and individual sections, and I number them as I go through so that I can keep the order. And whenever I get to like a quote, like I save that separately and leave it inserted where it's at so that it doesn't get pulled from that section, but then take that quote and copy it into the beginning as like intro. So the last one, though, Brent, you were talking about, I don't know, something about cigarettes.
I don't even remember that.
It must have been for the barter system we were talking, right? Where you got to bring the ring, you got to bring a art and a cig, you know.
It might have been I don't remember. It might have been, maybe it was more than a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Kurt Busch stuff, and you were saying like something about sitting down and get a cigarette and listen to the story or something like that. I don't know.
Audience, obviously this show was scripted, right? Because otherwise you can't come up with crap like that. So.
Yep. It's been good though. It's been good. I'm having fun with it. So. I don't think it makes you look too bad, Brad.
Okay. That's all right. I can live with it.
He doesn't know about it anyway. So.
Yeah, so they're saved in the archive, so I can, you know, maybe at the end of the season, there'll be an hour-long episode of Brent one-liners or something, I don't know.
Just give the people what they want.
Apparently the Matt's family would like to hear that, sounds like.
Hey, as long as I got, you know, like, one or two people that appreciate it, you know, makes me feel good.
My family. So, yeah. So as with Drew aren't the best episodes, you know, that'll be fine, but, you know.
Okay. Uh-oh. Words are going on now.
We know who the favorite son is now.
Oh, there's no guessing, unfortunately.
Oh.
Good stuff, man.
Well, I'm coming to you live from the flood zone of Eastern Pennsylvania tonight. I'm sitting here in the basement next to my sump pit, and if the water's coming up, I'll know right away.
Is she running at all? Did you get her? She crank up at all?
She's dry.
Oh, you?
Yeah. She's dry. Everything's working the way it's supposed to.
I'm gonna put your floaties on just in case.
Today's episode, definitely a good one out of Daytona for the Coke Zero 400. I think we've got a lot to talk about in response to that, and no special guests. We said we were going to do a driver bio section, and Brent did one, and we haven't done it since. So,
and then I slacked off, you know. Shocker.
I'm not prepared to do that, so maybe we'll get reinvigorate that in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Because that is fun. I like that. And then.
Deep dive. The Danica.
That would be a good one, yeah.
Danica. I'd like to do Tony the Tiger. Like to know Tony's story and his relationship with NASCAR. I'd like to, you know, learn a little more about that.
Okay. All right.
Sounds like you've just given yourself an assignment.
That's fine.
Sounds like it.
The guy who stole the pace car, Talladega. That'd be a good one.
That's a driver bio we all want to hear.
Yeah, back to practice. That story. That's a good guy, you know.
So then we'll finish it off with the Southern 500 coming up this weekend, the first playoff race. Crown Jewel in the series. So this should be a heck of a race. I mean, 500 miles,
The Wood Brothers car this week.
What's that?
The Wood Brothers car this week. Remember when what's his name from Wood Brothers goes, I'm doing my throwback at the Southern 500. I'm not doing it at the throwback weekend. So Wood Brothers something special this week.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. I mean, we can talk about it later, but I was wondering if, I know that the technical throwback week was in the spring race this year, but it's the Southern 500. So like, how do you not come with a fire scheme for the race, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you, unless the sponsors are smoking. I don't want their stuff messed with, you know.
Oh, that's true.
But we're putting
late night Sunday race.
The sponsors are smart. They'll play to the game, if you will.
Yes. How do you sell more diecasts? Make the cars look cool.
That's right.
Speaking of that, so, Adam, I know you're trying to steer the show, and I keep derailing it for you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
How's the sales coming?
The eBay sales? eBay sells good. I'm in the green at this point, or I should say in the black, right? I think that's the financial term.
Green in the black.
Yep. So I invested $75 in these 49 pieces, and I've sold 8 total right now, and I'm up 25 on my $75 investment. So
it's all black from here, buddy.
Yeah, so I've been actually looking around the house at other things to sell, and actually tonight somebody came to the house and risked their life in a flood from Hagerstown, Maryland, and bought my unopened, never opened Harbor Freight 750-pound capacity engine stand for $35.
Dude,
what did
they pull up?
I had one of those. All I put was a rotary engine on it, and it was terrible.
Yeah. They don't sell the 750 anymore. They started 1,000. This is a rare bird.
Yeah.
Unopened. Mine was.
It'll sell for a reason.
he was all about it. I mean, he drove all the way from Hagerstown. I mean, Jesus.
Amazing.
Yeah, that'd be, I mean, a solid 2 hours when the roads aren't flooded.
He's got time.
Matt, you asked a question of what he roll up in?
Because I got a follow-up question, so go ahead. Yes, what do you roll up in? Chevrolet pick?
Nope, he rolled up in a 2008 Navigator.
White. Oh, really?
Chrome wheels, yep.
So he obviously spent way more than $35 in gasoline to come up here, so.
Yeah, so that would have been, 08 would have been a 5.4 rig, right?
08 would have been a 3, yep. 33, baby. Rattling away, VCT fade.
I didn't hear nothing, but it was raining heavy, so.
Oh, yeah, the rain, you know.
Drowns it out.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, so probably spent $70 coming up to get, no, probably $40.
Yeah. You probably would have had to buy food, too, you know, because the guy's into a 750-pound unopened engine stand for $100 easily, and he wasted probably 6 hours of his day.
Probably about this time now, he's probably calling the tow truck and driving through the floodwaters. So, you know,
he's gonna need that engine stand to rebuild that 5.4.
He did say like he was gonna be in the area because he was gonna buy something else too that he found. So I don't think it was a complete trip for just the engine stand. But the only thing I saw else in the back of his car was a engine crane. So
he's got a
project going of some sorts. I didn't get into it because it was like it was raining. We were in the garage, and he looked at the box. He handed me the $35, and I'm like, "All right, click, garage door closed.
Get out of my house."
Yep, I didn't give him the time of day, but
great.
Got my $35.
Hey, you're gonna put 4 valves in that thing? Great. All right, have a nice day. See ya.
Yep. So yeah, no hits on the excursion yet.
Okay, you had an offer though.
I did. So we'll see. And I actually tonight, because now I'm antsy because I've been selling stuff. So I put the price to $4,900. It came down $100.
There you go.
So I'm getting every 7 days. I'm getting over 400 views.
Dude, they're all about it, man. They're looking for that beat, but
I think the people like it shows you like who saves it and stuff like that in the 7 day average, like the 7 day rolling number. And there's like 10 every 7 days is a total of like 10 people are saving it. So I think people are watching it and waiting to see what I do. So I think we'll see. I mean, at this point, if I find somebody I think is reasonable that offers me $4,500 online, if they don't seem like a flake, like then yeah, let's just
There's a lot of that. Yeah. When I was selling the Expedition, this thing's like, I'll be there immediately. I'm like, okay, cool. I go to the police station where I was gonna meet up with her. No one's never showed. No text, no call, nothing. So I didn't freak out. I'm like, you know, I'm like, you're a terrible person, but I didn't do that. So to the internet, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
you wreck some, you know.
That's right.
Karma comes back because I picked up that sieve and that dude held it for me for like 2 days. So
it's amazing.
What a hero.
Yep.
Speak Civic.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, she runs. Oh, man. She cranked right up. We let it idle for 10 minutes, and then we went right up to the rev limiter. So, fresh rebuild, had to really get those rings seated. So,
That's right. Yeah. Open header rips.
Open header rips. And if it was any lower, that header would have been dragging on the ground. So, if anybody knows of a K-Swap header, hit me up, because I'm looking for one. So, those are $400.
What's your maximum budget?
I'll go 200.
$200, okay, fair.
$1 for that, it's out of control. So, yep. But for now, if it's stock ride height, it works. It's just stupid. It's so loud. And that's when I was ripping it. I'm like, I don't know if the noise is making this way more exciting or the actual speed. But
everything about that was intense. Your reaction, the noise, just
the look on Chauncey's face.
Yeah.
Feeling gears, clutch was slipping, you know.
It sounded a little spin there.
I just dumped it, and it just didn't do its thing. So we still got to bleed her a little bit.
Okay.
But
yeah.
The master may be questionable, but we'll see.
Did you put a different clutch in it?
I used the same clutch you guys put in it.
That's going to say. Yeah, that was a Rock Auto special.
But it was the OEM brand, according to Sean. So.
It could have been, yeah.
Like an Exidy or something.
Yep.
So every other part, when I did the chains and stuff, or when we did that a couple years ago. Every other part aside from that clutch was mostly purchased from Rock Auto. Besides the timing chains, stuff. Every other Rock Auto part failed within the first 3 weeks. Everything.
That's pretty bad.
I normally have to like stuff. Like the stuff for the truck, the F-150 never has a problem.
Yeah, I've always had good luck with getting stuff from them.
Same here. It's not like that was a one-off thing. You know, I've ordered stuff since and it's been fine. The Excursion, I'll be honest, the Excursion stuff that I bought on there, bought all Motorcraft branded items.
Yeah.
So that probably might help my case a little bit, but. Like the fuel pump. Well, I shouldn't say the fuel pump's been successful. It works, but level's a little fucked.
It's okay. When you got 44 gallons of fuel, you got some buffer.
Yeah, but I ran out once.
Backwards. Some.
What's that, Matt?
Speedometer in the sieve spins backwards sometimes. Just goes the complete other way. So.
Oh my gosh. That's fine.
I took 80,000 miles off it too by putting a new speedometer in her. So,
woo! What a lot low mileage.
Yeah.
Okay. Matt's gonna open a used car dealer pretty soon.
I'm pretty good at it, guys. I might take it apart and set it to zero, but I think the government's not gonna like that too much. So.
Yeah. Damn.
It's very simple. One of those older crap boxes, but yeah, dude, runs good. And shout out to Sean again for. Let me use the garage and him with his expertise and him yelling at me to do it the right way. So I'm glad I got him.
Well, we want to jump in. We'll jump right into the mayhem of Daytona.
Oh my God. International
Speedway. Dun, dun, dun.
I loved it.
Well, you guys watched it from the green flag?
I did. I watched the whole race.
Yeah, it was the second half.
So how did it start off? Because I didn't get a chance. I didn't get an opportunity to really sit down and watch it until the beginning of the final stage.
See, I was nervous about the package the whole time. I'm like, they're going to ruin this. Joey Logano has ruined, you know, not only with his, how he's ruined the actual, you know, racing too. And I was surprised that none of that played out like I thought it would. So,
yeah, they were pushing each other right off the get-go. They were leaning on each other.
They were pushing way more than I thought they could push at Daytona.
And that's, and I think, Matt, you commented during the group text and before the call here that you, this is your favorite package. This is the what is this, the 550 horse with the obscene amounts of drag and downforce, rear, you know, snow shovel of a spoiler on the back. Right. And
the reason I like it is because it packs the cars. And if you get out front, you better be looking in your rear view because they're coming for you. You know,
right. That's why. Right. And maybe this is just have something to do with the track, but, and I felt I was all about it at the beginning of the race. And then the more the carnage unfolded in the last handful of laps, I started thinking maybe the cars are a little too stable because they took a little power out. They added a little more drag to slow the cars down. They had a legitimate reason to want to dial them back a few miles an hour. I feel like maybe they should take a little bit of the downforce and drag back out of it and dial the power back a little bit if they want to keep those speeds down, average speeds down a little bit. Because I felt like it just made it too easy for them to start pushing on each other. And we saw what happened. It turned into a demolition derby there in the last handful of laps. So they were maybe a little too stable. But sorry. Other than that,
corner to corner line, paint to paint moves, which should not be possible, right? Like, yep. They're going on a track, high groove to low groove, like it's nothing. So I'm with you there. I do understand that, but man, it's exciting, you know?
Yeah, it is. That's, I think, my takeaway. And it started for me in the Xfinity race. Because that was all packed up too. I mean, that's kind of the same thing was going on, and the college cars got together at the end there and got to the back stretch of the last lap and raced it out, which was awesome.
They were working together. They were just whole crap, you know.
But what's his face? That Miat guy destroyed Cindric.
Miat Snyder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put Cinder dead into the wall.
Man.
That was a lick, man.
It's a good hit.
Holy crap.
Cinder was a little testy there. He's a little, you know, 2 weeks in a row, you know, getting screwed on, from a wreck, and he's lost his championship lead at this point, and so I guess he would be a little bit upset, but he was hot when he got out of the car. He went to the care center and he came out, and I think somebody had the opportunity to tell him to cool off.
Yep.
And he was back in proper form.
Yeah, like you said, I don't blame him. I would have got out of the car hot too, and would have needed somebody to talk me off the ledge before I get in front of the microphone.
If they would have, I would have. Like, there's no, I would just lose my mind. I wouldn't have any sponsors after a conversation, after getting wrecked. Like,
yeah, I think I probably would have got it. Like, you got out of the car there and sat on the pit wall. I think I probably would have walked over the pit wall, grabbed a half inch impact gun and taken it down to that team and thrown it at their toolbox or something. I don't know.
Well, you mean pull a Tony Stewart and throw a helmet at a car window during a yellow flag lap?
Yeah, exert your dominance, right? I mean, you have to show somebody that you're a bull. I mean, that's it. Like, you have to. You can't just be like, oh, that's cool. No, it ain't cool.
Grab that bull by the horns.
Right. I mean, this is a, you know, cup racing and racing at these high levels of, you know, NASCAR series, right? I mean, these are people who are competitive, people who are right. competitive. They just don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, they,
or Mike Davis goes, once you guys put that helmet on, you go through that tunnel, you're like different people. So
yeah, you did say that today. That was exactly right. Yeah. This is a different world. It's like there's no rules. Like it's just like, look, this is what I'm doing, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
It ain't happening.
Yeah, so they, you know, NASCAR found a way with these. I guess we'll call it super. I guess we'll call it the Super Speedway package because they ran the same arrangement at Michigan. If I'm not mistaken, I'll be curious to see if they can replicate that next year.
I don't know if the downforce. Yeah, I don't know if the spoil was identical. It's pretty close. I don't know if it was 100% the same, but it was the same 550 package.
Yeah, bring up a great point. I think that's the last good Super Speedway race we're going to see for a while until they get this back. So. Because when this gen car came out, they were doing the tandems for a while, like just greasing up. They were literally putting grease on the bumpers. That was a thing for that was the worst racing they ever had, man. That was terrible.
The cars were pretty unstable at the Super Speedway when that car dropped and came out, and they were dancing when they get side draft. It was sketchy. Yeah. But man, like, and I think I commented about this during the Xfinity race, they had these on certain drivers, they had these heart rate monitors, which I was not a fan of at first, because I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like, can we track any more information? Like, what did freaking guy
have for it's marketing. The heart rate company wanted to get all in.
I know, it's all sponsorship. I'm all fine with it. But then it got hilarious in the cup race because they kept showing Denny Hamlin's, and that guy's calling as a fucking cucumber, and he's in, you know, 10 lanes of traffic at 185 miles an hour, and he's just like, his heart rate's like, he's just like
98.
He's like this seems fine.
I got out to get a snack and I'm over 100, so like I don't man.
I had pictured him in that moment when they showed his heart rate, they're like, oh, he's all calm, cool, collected, and I'm like, oh, it's John Gerard from Talladega Nights, just Sean Girard. He's just out for a drive.
Because who else did they have? They have that on. It was running like 140 beats per minute.
In the cup race?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember anybody else in the cup race.
I can't. It was someone that was a, you know, far lesser driver than Denny. So it was kind of entertaining. But yeah, they were running, you know, Denny's running 95 beats per minute, and this guy's running 130, 35.
Stressful, yeah. You know? Stressful.
Yeah. Which is legitimate, like you said. He's, you know, they're three wide at 185 miles an hour.
It got cool there, and like obviously, like I said, like I didn't watch, wasn't able to watch the first two stages, but into the third stage, then got some good green flag racing, and strategically all the Fords came down pit road at the same time. It got cool there, and and all the Chevys then were. So anyway, big manufacturer alliance there, partially through the third stage. Ford's all pit at one time. Chevys are on the bottom. Toyotas are on the top. Bubba is out front leading the Toyota train. And, it was like that for a little while. Fords came back on track, and they were slow.
Oh, God. They had two of them fall off the draft. You know, Keselowski lost the draft. Like, oh, my God.
It wasn't looking good, and then the Toyotas got good speed together, and they got a couple lengths ahead, and Bubba went low, I think.
He was thinking to pit, yep.
Yep, and Kyle Busch does what Kyle Busch does, and Me.
That's it. Team in one. Joe Gibbs team with everybody's on their own freaking team. So
yeah. You know. He screwed the pooch on that plan, seemed like to me.
But Adam, don't worry, the plans are very disrupted. Because you know what came next?
Which crash are we talking about?
Racing crash.
The what?
Rick Ware Racing.
Oh, crash. Okay. Yep. So the 3 out of the 4 Rick Ware cars, right?
I don't know what's happening. Like, literally in the middle of pit strategies, here comes Rick Ware. Like, gonna screw this pooch, you know?
Yep.
What are you guys talking about pit strategies for? We're just gonna tear up the field. So
it's. We haven't talked about them for a while, to be honest with you. They've kind of lurked low a little bit, aside from an ever-rotating driver list.
I looked at their merch trailer in Michigan, and it was not present.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
I was going to buy a shirt because I think it would be hysterical, but...
Yeah, I mean, they can't even put the guys, like, you know how, like, some of the Chevy stuff they have all together? Like, if you're not Chase Elliott, there's a Chevy trailer for everybody else.
When I bought my first real racing gear the first time, I had to go to that just the Chevy time where they're just like, yeah, this is where all the hacks hang out, you know.
You're not Chase Elliott or Kyle Larson at this point. You're in your own trailer.
They did have their own trailer though.
Did they? Okay. Motors okay.
And Dirty Mo had a trailer. So
nice. So they what I was going to say is you can't even put them with like the Chevy guys or like the Ford trailer because there's a mix.
Next.
You know what I mean? Like they have a mix of cars and it just.
God. They were talking about today on Door Bumper and they're like, they have 4 charters, folks.
They're sitting on a freaking cash cow. The charters are a gold mine today. And I mean, we can get into that in a little bit, but yeah, it's ridiculous. It really is. Something's got to be done.
Me too. Brent?
What's that?
You reported some breaking news today.
Yeah. Yeah, the Starcom Racing sold their charter. So Quinn Huff's out of a ride.
Did they say to who?
Oh, I thought it was that. No, they didn't. They didn't confirm that. It's just speculations.
Yeah. So
I'm sure we'll hear in the next... the next couple of days. I think it's interesting, though. I paid a little bit of attention to Quinn this year. He ran better at Bristol Dirt than usual. And he runs better at road courses than he does the paved ovals. So I feel like there are other options for this guy that would be better suited for him in his current state. You know, it's not cup racing, but
maybe we'll need to do a bio about him because I don't know. I don't really know what his background is.
Yeah, here. I don't know anything about him. He iRaces well. I think in the iRacing ones, he ran well on those.
Those guys,
yeah. So it could be.
Yeah, interesting because I heard all speculated that he brought a ton of cash, so might be one of those also.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, there's other news in the charter game. Like as far as we all know, despite the breaking news this week of Kurt Busch officially going to 23XI Racing as a second car in the 45, retaining the Monster sponsorship, they did not announce a charter for that car in the announcement. The only other significant thing they announced was the moving of the number. NASCAR has confirmed that the number is moving forward on the door, which, you know, it's everybody all upset.
Terrible.
Everybody's feelings are hurt right now.
I didn't think I would hate it so much, and I do.
It's really? Why? Why do you, like, what?
Now listen, okay, so I have 2 hats I can wear. I can wear the it looks dumb hat. And I also can wear the sponsors more side for sponsorships to sell, the better the sport gets. So I understand both of that. I really do. But it looks dumb. I'm going to like it, but it looks dumb now. Hopefully they'll pull it off better.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what everybody's saying about, like, there's the sponsorship potential is better.
Yes.
Likely. And what was the what was the other reason you gave?
Why I don't like it?
Well, I guess both. You said there was something else you said. I missed that part.
So it's literally just more surface area to sell, right? Which helps the sport. Yeah. So I wear that hat and go, yeah, better for the sport, more sponsorship dollars, awesome, better racing. But I also wear the stupid hat and go, this looks dumb. I don't like it. I hate it, right? Yeah. But I have an internal battle, I guess.
Yeah, my thought is like it doesn't affect me as a fan in how I watch.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't need Kurt Busch's brand recognition. He's been in so many different cars at this point that his brand recognition is not his number, although that is not the case for everybody. His brand recognition is Monster.
That's right. There's a reason he's there, right?
Yeah. So you know, that is, for me, that retains, which is important, I think, for that fan base. The moving of the number in the whole process doesn't change anything for me, especially if it's going to be the same size. Like, I don't know. You can't freaking read the freaking number anyway.
Very true.
But, well, you know, I don't know.
What is it?
But the rumor is that they are going to acquire the charter from Front Row Motorsports.
Oh, so the 78 car. Or no. Front Row is...
Well, it sounds like Front Row might not exist after this year. So they have two charters. They've got McDowell's car and Alfredo.
Oh,
and the 38. He's a 38, right?
Yep.
So,
wow. That's big, man. Come off with the 500 and then lose your ride.
That is the significant story there. They win the 500. All of it by being in the right place at the right time, which, you know, is a hard thing to we experienced this week. Is, you know, that's the thing. That's a skill set at Daytona. So we'll see what ends up happening with that. But the other charter news as of recently is JTG Dougherty Racing sounds like their model is. I think they're leasing one, sure. I think, and they own one, and allegedly in their model right now, the leased one is costing more than what they're bringing in.
Oh my!
So, like, it's a negative effort, and we all know they're not winning. You know, their best chance to win was last weekend at a super speedway. I mean, Stenhouse is a pretty good super speedway guy. And then you've got Ryan Preece, which, you know. So yeah, we'll see what happens. There's at least one up for grabs, whether it's a purchase or a lease in that case. I don't know who they're leasing from. I'm not sure. But
who knows, man? Where's it who's gonna be? Who's it gonna be?
Yeah, I mean, 23XI is going to buy a charter. I mean, they've got the money.
He goes, I made more money on shoes than I did playing basketball. What do you guys want? You know?
Yeah. But, I mean, that's where it could get dangerous for Michael, but they said that they had sponsors beating down the door after they signed all their sponsorship slots for Bubba's car. So I imagine they're more than fully funded.
Yes.
At this point, with his second car, with that monster deal coming through with Kurt Busch, so brings money. If he brings all that money to the table, I mean, you know, I think they pony up the dough for the.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Adam. What were you saying, buddy?
I'd say I think they just, like, my guess is they decided to just pony up the dough, whatever it costs, just get it and move on.
there. I listened to NASCAR radio on Sirius. Someone was interviewing Kurt Busch, and at one point, Kurt Busch is, you know, everybody's talking. The news just broke. They're all talking about it, and Kurt Busch goes, "Yeah, you know, I've been kind of taking Ross Chastain under my wing, showing him the way, and you know, he had a little couple run-ins with my brother, and you know, after that run-in, my brother calls me and goes, "Hey, you got to straighten that kid out." And Kurt goes, "Well, Kyle, I had a couple phone calls, people asking me to straighten you out. So, what do you think?" Oh, God, I love it. It was laughing. I'm like, "Get him, Kurt. Get him." But
yeah. The Kyle. There's no point in him changing at this point.
Yes.
Out, you know?
Speaking of Melon Man, I was excited to see him running at Daytona. I think he may have got caught up in one of those wrecks, but he was up there, and I was pulling for him. Yeah,
he made it through one of the big incidents closer to the end there to keep himself alive. Like, he barely skated by. Like, he was on the brakes, slowly pushing a car out of the way, and I think he got caught up in that final one, right?
Yep. He can thank Mr. Elliott for that one.
God.
I mean, that's the problem. Like, the package is so good, but you can't pull away, right? Which, no. You know, okay, so it creates this situation, like in Elliott's case, if he wants to stay out front, the guy's got to make the car 3 lanes wide. I shouldn't say 3 lanes because, like, 3 lanes with this package was not working. The person who didn't get the help in the third car was getting hung out to dry all night long. Like, they to the back you go.
Hit the toilet flusher. You're going to the back.
That's exactly what it was. Some guy would stick their get in there, and then here we go. Whoop.
Oh, I'm with you. Peace.
Oh man. So. Elliot
fight at one point around a Corey LaJoy or whatever the hell his name is, running around out there 30 miles an hour off the pace, and you know, in the racing line and having the whole field go 3 wide around him, so making it 4 wide. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah,
that was exciting.
Yeah,
LaJoy, what is he doing? Never know what
he had. Elliot had in that situation, Yeah, this was the. Was that the final caution? The Elliott crash? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Elliott, DiBenedetto, Harvick.
Yep.
Suarez, and Busch.
Going for him too, man.
Or no, was the Suarez incident.
Suarez was earlier, I thought. The Suarez wasn't later. I'll have to pull up the chart.
So, yeah, the whole. Okay, so. Suarez and Kurt crossed each other up, and in that moment, Kurt got into the bumper, which turned Suarez into Harvick, which turned Harvick around at speed, and that car, it may have moved up a centimeter, but that's how good these things are, man. Like, that thing was like chained to the ground. Like, it wasn't gonna flip. This is wild.
It's insane.
Yeah. That was impressive, to be honest. That there is an example of how hooked up these things are.
It's like the old Porsche 926, more aero, or 944, more aerodynamic in reverse than it was going forward. So
is that a thing? That was a thing? Interesting.
Sponsors did a thing on it, buddy.
This is the Germans. Doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It just looked like, but yes.
But Matty D, man, he, you know, had to make a move, and Chase did his best Logano impression.
God, you know what though, Matt, I have so much to say. He was there. Everybody's a Matty D fan, by the way. Everybody.
Well, when he in that moment, yeah, that's exactly how it was in Bristol too, right? Everybody was a Matty D fan, you know.
Oh, right. Yeah, just a little bit. And it, it, it's some of his fault too, right? You know, he was, he's going for it. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you can't. I don't know. I give him respect for swinging the bat, right? I mean, you can't. He did the same thing. Was it in Michigan or a couple weeks ago? Felt like he did the same thing somewhere else.
Big swing. I don't think it was Michigan.
He played the fuel strategy at New Hampshire with the pending call in the race. He was the only one who did it. So you give, I mean, to me, you give that team credit for, again, you're swinging, and if it works, they're freaking heroes. And it, yeah, it didn't work in that situation, but yeah.
Would have got Wood Brothers or Hunter Flame. You know, he still doesn't have a ride, so I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a cup ride, man. I don't.
All the AJ Allmendinger train, go down to Xfinity and put on. Down there.
We're seeing a resurgence of that for sure. AJ Allmendinger, you know, is obviously an example. But I even look at guys like John Hunter and Nemechek going down to the Truck Series, and
yeah,
I mean, he's done fantastic and good equipment, and that is definitely only elevating his status to be able to get back to, you know,
where he wants to be.
Yeah, where he wants to be, which it sounds like he wants to be in Cup. So, you know, and we'll see with the new car. The new car has the potential to change things, but at the end of the day, I think most guys are going to want to be in top, what is considered top tier equipment. And if they can't get it, I don't know. Why try?
True. Good point. Very good point.
Gregson re-signed with Junior Motorsports in the 9, coming back in the 9 car, and he said the same thing today. No rush, get the cup.
That's it. I think Junior's plans.
I would think so. I think they're missing out on an opportunity, and, you know, Junior needs to sell some of his toys.
He was talking about buying something today. I was laughing. Old Chevy pickup or something.
Yeah, he bought a C10, I think. Like, he put the feelers out, like, on his podcast or something, like, a bunch of weeks ago. And, like, he's like, I've been looking for one, can't find it. Somebody finds one, let me know. And somebody came through and, like, messaged him through some way. And like, he fell in love with it, he said. And he's like, I got to buy it. No, I'm just going to buy it.
That's amazing. Clean C10s are hard to find.
I think it was a C10. That was 70s, right?
Highway. Some guy driving an F-150. It was in the Red Rocket. So either he loved the truck or he loved the Truex call-outs on the back window, one of the two. But he honked and made me look over, and he's like, big thumbs up. I'm like, all right, bud.
I found your twin. I found the twins for sale locally here.
Buy it.
$1,800.
Do it.
It's automatic.
Is it the V8?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and look now. 1,800 bones.
How's the cab?
Looks good. It's red, though. Red always shows awesome, like, if you just, like, spit on it and rub it for a little bit.
Well, it was raining when Matt bought his, so, you know.
That's right.
Not to buy it. I'm going to do it. So.
Yeah.
Brent tried. Brent did the good friend.
But if Brent would have told you to buy it, you would have been like, oh, yeah, I'm buying it. So it wasn't like.
Yeah, I was just way too excited. That's the problem.
Emotional.
Emotions just get the
huh? That's. Yeah. I do the same thing. I don't buy things because it makes sense.
Yeah. Fun investment. It's fun investment.
Yep.
I like it. But.
So, yeah, good race, though. I think that was all you said. Overall, the entertainment value was there. I like that. I mean, these boys had to – I mean, we've talked about it here many times at this point. These boys had to work for every lap. There was not an inch to give for the entire time. It was stressful the entire time, and I like when the racing is stressful for the drivers. That makes me happy.
Yeah, listen. When they're having a crappy time, I'm having a good time. So
yeah, makes me feel good about paying the cable bill. when it's good stuff. You know what I
mean? gotta justify that. Gotta justify that streaming service for me at least.
Yeah, it was a little crappy that it finishes under the caution by on the next flag after that wreck. That I didn't like. I felt like in that moment that, because I think that it was last lap, right? I felt like in that moment the leaders could race back to the green. I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't even be entertaining. I don't know. But
it's if it wasn't Talladega or Daytona, I think they let it happen. But you just, you know, the history of that place, I think they got to get it if they can. So
it's fair. I understand it. Just I don't know.
Problem.
With all the excitement that had happened, it just didn't seem like it just wasn't quite the ending I was looking for. I was looking for the photo finish, right? After all that.
Yeah.
There's more to come, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's definitely more to come. Definitely more to come. So
Mr. Blaney.
Crazy. What's that?
Mr. Blaney.
It's gotta be.
He's having a good year.
He's turned it on, baby. Turned it on.
Wins, buddy.
Yeah. We'll see if he can. He's been super consistent as of late, even in other portions of the year at some treacherous tracks, right? And I don't know. See what he can do in a place like Darlington. You know, like even back in Martinsville earlier this year, had he not run into the pit crew, he got that pit lane violation for equipment leaving pit lane. So we'll see. I don't know. If I'm going to make a bet, it's Kyle Larson at this point. I mean, you can't. Like, I don't feel like you can bet against him.
That is true.
I don't know.
Well, we're fixing to find out, boys.
We are. That's what, like, right. Who did say it? Larry Mack. That's why they run their races, right?
Oh, baby. That's right. Yep. So, yeah, what's his face, though? So, Blaney, the way it finished on track, Blaney was first. Second was Buescher? No.
Second was Buescher.
Chris Buescher. Third was Bubba Wallace. Snaked himself right past all them boys and woo, right in there.
Dude, he was coming, man.
He was. And then Buescher got DQ'd. After post
and I heard a great explanation of what happened. So, okay. Frank, did you hear this?
I did not. Let's hear it.
So it was a track bar, right? And it passed pre-race and failed post-race. So what happened was they were dragging it on the ground so much that it ground off too much and made it illegal.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because like. All right, here now we're, you know, no practice situation. I mean, that I remember that car throwing sparks throughout the race.
A lot more than tires coming up, you know, like yeah. The entire time.
Yep. And we've seen it now since the no practice era. The track bar mount is the lowest location. And it's been rubbing in a lot of places.
And I think
that is amazing.
All of it off. So, cute now. So,
yeah.
God, crazy though, man. Roush gets to run and then poof, gone to you.
Yep. So Brad's probably going to have a talking to him, you know? What are you boys doing?
You're like, you know, we know Ford gives you guys tons of dough. So, y'all got to figure this out. Okay.
Yep.
Don't look bad.
Yep. So, Bubba. You know, turns into the number two, matching his best Daytona finish at this point. And I'm almost glad Bubba didn't win in that situation, though, because you know the storyline. You know where that's going. Oh, he didn't really win, right?
It's out of super speedway.
It's out of super speedway, you know, no skill required, just luck of the draw.
No, I'm with you there, Adam. That's a really would have been great for the playoffs, but
Yes.
Story wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Glamorous.
So speaking of the playoffs, Tyler Reddick ends up with the spot, right? 16th spot after all that.
Yeah. Dude,
Score was dying, man.
Shout out to the RCR pit crew. Man, baby, got that thing tucker in there and put some tape on it and sent it.
It was amazing. Did you see what Austin Dillon's car finished the race like? Just high-centered on the bank. he left it all out there. Left it all out there trying to get that last spot.
I was like, no. So Reddick had the oil cooler go out, right?
Yeah.
That's what they said in the – yeah, they said it was oil cooler because he wailed. I think he got in the back of somebody from somebody checking up.
Hard.
Yeah, it dented the nose. they brought it on pit lane because during the caution of that. And allegedly they bypassed the oil cooler.
That's what I'm saying.
Which I didn't know that was a thing. That's pretty cool.
It's the conversation. We're not going to be running the back anyway, so, you know.
Right. I mean, it's – you. He's in that spot of transferring to the playoffs. Like, it's like everybody else out there at the moment. Like, well, we're going to swing for the freaking fence. We ain't just going to put it on the trailer and go home.
Right.
Bypass that oil.
Yeah. We're going to sacrifice an engine.
60.
What's that?
260 is when they get worried for oil temps.
Okay. So he lucked out, though, because then the track went red after he came off pit road and got an opportunity to shut it down and cool it off. And who knows? Maybe that was the moment. Maybe that's what did it.
My favorite part of that whole bit, because he came down pit road. They claimed to bypass the oil cooler, which obviously that was a very quick process for them. I wonder if they've got plumbing arrangements they can make that change quickly. But he goes back out, it's still smoking a little bit, and they believe it's from residual oils. They bring it back in pit road, and dudes get out there with like 17 cans of brake clean, and they're just hosing the underhood of this car. And I'm thinking to myself the whole time, like, this thing, all four of these guys are gonna lose their eyebrows right now. Like, this thing's just gonna light up because it's a hot race car and they're spraying like gallons and brake under the hood. I'm like, it's just gonna be one big explosion, and it never happened, which amazes me. But hose it off.
You know what that made me think of? What's that?
I said, if it wasn't on fire yet, it was about to be, you know.
That one reminded me that seeing that remind, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, these guys have probably cleaned DPS6 clutches in their lifetime before because they got the technique of two cans of just let it eat.
Let this. This thing's going to work itself out. This is going to be fun.
Yep. Oh, man. But yeah, then they, after the second time, they got the big tape out and because I think the hood wasn't sure whether that bad boy was going to stay closed or not, so they taped her shut.
Yep.
Sure, it was going to stay put.
Yeah, it wasn't going nowhere. That stuff can't be cheap, that high-speed tape.
I want to get some.
That was a big piece, two big pieces. Like,
some of that, you know?
What's that?
A lot of cars running around Detroit could use some of that bare bond, you know? I meant to tell you guys, I was in a Michigan left, right? The U-turn in the middle of the highway, real safe, right? There was a Camry that was hit so hard in the rear that it crumpled the right above the rear tire, like the D pillar. It crumpled that, right? CD pillar. It was crumpled. The point where the body was rubbing on the center of the tire, but there was a groove cut in the center of the tire. They're just driving it. It was all rusted. Like, oh my God.
Oh, Lord.
That should be a podcast. Things you see on the highways. Like cars parked on the side of the road going to work, back, and they're missing doors and body panels because someone parted it out so they got stuck on the side of the road.
You should, like, if you see that stuff, you should record audio of your reaction, of, like, your description of the situation.
I just need to get my dash cam up and running. That's what I need to know.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
We'll do a section on the YouTube channel, Matt.
Oh, it'll be
Detroit, I don't know, something wild.
What do I say? I tell Rage, I'm like, Detroit's going to Detroit. That's what it's going to sometime, you know?
So Detroit is also a verb, is what you're saying.
Yes, in that sense it is, because I have never seen this in my entire life. And there's one city where this happens. The Dirty D. So.
Dirty D. Yeah. Amazing.
I've seen a car drive down 94 with no tire, just on the rim, focus. That was pretty. I've seen a pickup truck, a bench seat F-150 that was so rusted out that when the guy pushed the clutch in, I watched the floor plan come out from the cab. You know, seen that.
I saw one of those where the frame was so rotted the cab corners were dragging on the road. It was sagging in the middle so bad the cab corners were rubbing on the ground.
That's like the ultimate gangster lean. That's got to be flying to the moon.
How was?
I don't know what the props. I mean, the drive shaft had to be coming through the floor at that point too.
There's no way the brakes work. Think about it. Think about it with the location of the master cylinder. If the cab backward,
like, was the box straight? Or was the box like holding?
the back of the cab and the front of the box were like. Almost both of them were almost touching the ground. Like it was sagging in the middle that bad.
Oh man, I just laughed so hard my stomach hurts.
So yes, yeah. Case you live in a state that has state safety inspections and you think they're stupid, this is the alternative. So,
well, the stupid thing is we're doing inspections on. A population of vehicles that, I mean, dude, like less than 10,000 miles brand new. Like, like there are quality mishaps, right? But,
inspections should start at the 10-year mark. Once you hit 10 years, you get safety and you get emissions. That's it.
I mean, at the end of the day, they just want the money. So, like, I'd have no problem. Like, if we didn't have to go through the formal process, like just send me a bill. I'll pay the bill. Like I'm not concerned about the cost of inspection.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah, man.
And then when you get to it. Go ahead. Sorry.
We spend that in our registration costs up here.
Exactly. Like here in PA, the registration for a normal vehicle, right, weight wise, is $36.
Yeah.
And state inspection and emissions for that same vehicle on the cheap, you're out the door for 70 probably. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get brother-in-law deals, I mean, that's for sure, and spend less. So, I mean, there you go, you're $100, right, for your average car. Yeah.
It's like half. I think that's half the registration on my truck up here.
Yeah,
right.
I'd be like $300 for the two.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So it's like, okay, out there, you're running into these cars where the D-pillar is crumpled in to the point where it's rubbing the tire. There's no inspection, but you're paying double the registration cost or total cost, right? It's crazy.
I don't want to live that way, you know?
Yes, right. So anyway, race was awesome. I loved it. We'll see what happens. They go to Talladega yet again, right? Super speedway wise.
I think this playoff section.
No, this playoff section. So we got Darlington this week, Richmond the following, and then Bristol.
It's short tracks, dude. This is gonna be a great 3 weeks of racing.
Yeah.
Well, Darlington's not a short track, but I'd probably put it in that category.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah, I don't know how to classify that. It's gonna be good. It's a crown jewel race, so it isn't, you know, there's 16 drivers. Well, I'll say 17 when you add Matty D, who's got something to work for.
Dude, I'm
right.
Get a win, man. Let's see it.
Yeah. Imagine Matty D just winning the next, well, how many, 10 races? 10 races left?
Wins them all?
Who's coming? That be something?
What's his name? That kid's coming in behind him. Burton, right?
Harrison Burton is leaving Toyota. Yeah, and coming to.
Hi, Harrison. We made a huge mistake. Matty D just won 10 races. Hope you didn't make too many permanent plans.
That'd be the third time, if that's something like that happened, that'd be the third time they changed the driver of that car without the driver actually changing in the car.
It's been a year.
It's been crazy.
I did not see the Kurt Busch thing, though.
No.
That kind of got me.
Well, no. They've been talking about 23XI, and I think everybody just assumed that ultimately was going to happen. But it's still surprising, I guess, that it actually got done. But
with Matt. Yeah.
So you picked Suarez, I think, Messina ran.
Yeah, I sure did.
And Brent, you had...
And Buescher, so close.
Oh, yeah.
And then he modified his track bar during the race, apparently. They frowned upon that.
Brent, if he would have won, and then they would have taken it away, it would have been a lot worse. So
I would have lost my marbles.
Yep.
Had money on you had who'd you have?
I picked Melon Man, yeah. So and I put my money where my mouth was. I took my free money from Barstool Sports app and put all $30 of it on Ross to win at plus 4,000, which would have given me $1,200 in my pocket.
And, I had pretty watermelon by myself without smashing it. So I bought a quarter just in case. You know, I had
I was so happy
that
had a good race for a while.
Yeah, he did. He brought it. All those guys did. Everybody who wanted to go for it went for it. Even the Corey LaJoy's, you know, they and I respect that.
Well,
I guess
everybody's
swinging.
You know, they want to be in Michael McDowell's situation, win a race and don't do shit the rest of the year. So,
yeah. The only thing I thought was kind of weird is Corey LaJoy said he got the green light from the team to go for it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, in the 25 races before this, you weren't allowed to win? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Got to bring that car back.
Well, that could be. That could be. If,
you know?
Yeah, it could be.
You won. Go ahead. It's a 2015 model. So, you know, send.
Yep.
Man, you just wish they were in it to win it, you know, and they're just not. So,
yeah, that's what needs to change for sure.
Get people in there who want to be there, or want to be there, you know, not just to make money. Yeah, sell your charters, cash out, and move on. Right. So,
yeah, there's an opportunity to get there if you're getting to the point like this situation where drivers are going down to come back, you know. I think you could get to a point if there's not enough competitive equipment where drivers are like, yeah, screw it. I ain't before. Just to get beat up. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's it. I'm with you. Xfinity's been great this year. So.
Yeah. Been loving it.
They're fighting. You know, a great racing too. And how about, real deal Ty Gibbs getting a ride next year?
Oh yeah, well I heard rumors.
Full-time Xfinity ride, bud.
In the 54.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Should be.
That's,
I mean,
pretty good to watch.
They should not, there's no reason, like that car and team have won so many races this year. They should not touch a damn thing, down to the person who wipes the tire shine on the hauler tires. Like, they shouldn't change a damn thing.
Well, they threw him out of ARCA, so he had to go somewhere, I guess. No, I'm kidding.
Is that what they're doing? No, he's not allowed to race in ARCA anymore?
Yeah, no, they said you win too much.
You know, he did win again on Sunday.
They did. Yeah. Take grandpa's money and go do something else. You're not welcome here. They said. Actually,
kick him out of the all you can eat buffet.
It's a, you eat, you must leave. You know.
Yep.
All the guys were like, "That's Kyle Busch's car. I saw it run last week." He's like, "No way, it's an old model, just like the rules say." Oh Lord.
Well, so Jeff, trucks and Xfinity.
Give us a breakdown.
Trucks, Xfinity. This week, Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup all at Darlington. Cup is Sunday night because we got Monday's a holiday.
Right.
Ooh. Yep. So 6 p.m. I think is the deal. Sunday night. Sunday at 1:30 is the truck race.
Well, that's good. Sunday. That's awesome. Yeah.
I don't think it's a triple header in one day. Let me pull up the Xfinity deal here. Yeah, Xfinity is on Saturday afternoon at 3:30. So
Saturday, okay.
Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and then Big Boys Sunday night under the lights at Darlington.
I like Darlington.
It's a cool track.
Think Truex punches his ticket to the next stage?
We'll see. Yeah. Who won here earlier this year? Do you remember?
And I think.
2021 race results.
I don't know.
When did they go here?
I'm sitting here thinking to myself. I don't remember Darlington race this year, but I don't remember. I don't remember a lot of things.
It was Truex.
Truex won. Yeah, Truex won. Sorry.
Ooh.
Saving for the rest of the season, so everybody's talking about, you know, season championships. He's like, I ain't worried about that. I'm just gonna win the playoffs again. So that's him. So
mm-hmm. Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
No, I was just completely just word vomiting about Truex taking revenge on everybody who's wronged him through the year. So you know.
Well, that was his third, and Darlington was his third and final win of the year so far.
Yep.
In a while.
Okay. All right. Are we really going to play this game, Adam? You want to play this game with the drivers this week?
Yeah, no, not really.
What I was going to say. So
my guy's done. You can't switch spotters, even if he's your best friend. You can't switch spotters this late in the game.
You think Joey's done this? You think he's had his chance, huh?
I just don't. I don't know.
Funny, doesn't it?
If I were Team Penske, I'd put my good stuff into the Blaney show right now. I mean, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
It's just like
they wouldn't be giving it to Keselowski.
and Talladega Nights when Ricky Bobby's losing, like he's falling apart. He had the big wreck. And the team editor comes over to his wife and goes, "Do you know who the future is? Cal Naughton." That's happening right now. So.
Yep. Amazing. Cal. Amazing. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if a guy like Truex can get her done, sweep the season and punch his ticket to the next round, or you know, I know Larson's got serious points lead at this point from a playoff perspective, but we're talking a crown jewel race at night. I mean, you know, I think them Hendrick boys are going to be fast, and I think Larson's going to have the good gas.
We'll grind off any track bar mounts and we'll be fine. So
yeah.
Those are, you know, they like to do that here.
Stay out of the wall in turn four.
Kiss that wall, baby. Don't go too deep.
I don't know. Is it four? Is it coming out of four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's where they all get it.
Dude, the Darling Stripe, as they call it. Right. So
too tough to tame.
Redick, what if Redick puts on a show?
Well, that's a possibility. I mean, a track like this, a guy like Redick, I mean, I think in the past, well, I don't know now, but traditionally, I think this has been one of those courses where a lot of people don't run the high line, despite it usually being really good once they lay the rubber down, because of the risk, you know, hitting the wall.
Risk versus reward.
But if you can, a guy like Redick's the guy who has proven to can run the wall
yep.
consistently in places. So, yeah.
And I mean, straight to the playoffs, right? You don't want to be off to a bad start, but at the same time, if you're going to risk one, this is where you risk it, right?
So I think so. Absolutely. Risk it for the biscuit here and see what you can pull out next two races.
The biscuit. I'm all about it.
I think that's what we should leave it on. Risk it for the biscuit. That's yeah. sign off tonight.
Sounds like the title of the episode.
The biscuit, risk it. The risk it, biscuit, four times. Redick risks the biscuit at Darlington. There's your headline.
Real Love quick, it. check your email from today.
Oh yeah, getting prepped for Bristol.
I sent you. I got a big email about camping stuff and all the details from the track today. So I forwarded all to you guys. It's got like the
got pictures,
rules and stuff, the pictures, the shower time, the bus transport schedule down to the track, all the everything you need to know.
All the good info. Well, thank you, sir.
Yep.
I appreciate. Yeah.
All right.
What do we say?
Keep the shiny side up and the rubber side down.
Going racing, risking it for the biscuit this weekend.
Amen. Later.
Sure. Redick, see you guys.
All right, all. You're good.